25194 rear 1.
And this is Alf Stewart, and it's Reel One. And if I could ask you, first of all, Alf, to tell me something about your family background. This would be before the war started, of course, wouldn't it? Way before.
Well, I was born in 1915, and I had five sisters, which I've lost all of them now. They've all gone. And I was the third one in the family, the only boy, and I suppose I was spoilt by them. Then I went to school down. I was born in East Ham, Barking Road, East Ham. And from there, after 9 years, my parents moved to Westcliff. My father and mother were in business. They had a dress, he was a manufacturer of garments. And we moved to Westcliff in 1924, we came to Westcliff. When I left school here in Westcliff, my father got me a job in Upton Park, Queen's Road, Upton Park. He knew the owner very, very well, and he was a textile merchant. In this business, it was in a market area, and he had a very large shop, very big shop. In this shop, there was an auctioneer there by the name of Mr. Feldman. Now, this Mr. Feldman had a son who was an actor, Marty Feldman. Now, he worked there, he was an auctioneer in the shop, and one day, I was only a kid, I was sweeping up there. I was about 15, and I was sweeping the shop through, and all of a sudden, this Mossy Feldman walked out of the shop, and there was a manager in the shop. It was quite big staff, and the manager in the shop tripped him up. He had something sticking out of his coat, and as he walked past the office, the manager put his foot out, and he tripped over, and some pure white satin was stuck underneath his coat. And he was pinching a roll of white satin beauty, which those days was very exclusive. He got the sack right away. Then they haven't got an auctioneer. And I was getting, at that time, £2.50 a week. They haven't got an auctioneer, so I turned round to the manager, whose name was Mr. Bush, Bob Bush, and I said, "Bob, I can auctioneer. I've watched him do it. I can auctioneer as good as he was." So he said, "Well, if you could," he says, "try it out on Saturday." Well, Saturday came round. I got up on the stool and I started auctioneering, and I had a very, very good day. And it turned round. The next week, my wages went up to £4.50 from £2.50. And I had the job ever since. I worked for them for about 2 years, and one day I was headhunted by another firm in Queen's Road, Upton Park, by the name of High Ward Limited, who was also a very big way of business. He turned around and says, "I'd like to make you manager of my shop. Would you come and take it on and be the auctioneer there?" So I said, "Well, if the money's right, I'll do it." And I was about 17 at the time. I took the job on at £8.50 a week, which those days was a lot of money. £8.50 a week. And I'd done very, very well. Now, I used to have a young lady who was the false's sweetheart always come into the shop, and her name was
Vera Lynn.
Vera Lynn. And Vera used to come into the shop with her mother, and her mother used to buy her materials. And she only wanted me to serve her and take it home to her house. And she lived at that time opposite the park in Ilford. So I used to take it home to her, and I got very friendly with her at that time. Spoke to her, she was a lovely person. And from then on, my governor said to me one day, he said, "Elf," he said, "I've just bought a new Dodge lorry. Can you drive?" I said, "Of course I can drive. I've never driven in my life." He said, "I want you to go to Jessop's," which was about 4 miles away, near Mile End. He said, "Pick up my new lorry." I said, "All right." I went to Jessop's. I went to the firm there and I said to them, "Excuse me, what is the gears on this vehicle? Could you take it out the garage for me?" They took it out the garage and I got in it. He showed me what the first gear was, and I drove all the way from Bow right through to Upton Park in first gear. Now I've got to get it down the market, which all the stalls were out with their covers without scratching it. I got it down there, got it outside the shop, and my governor said to me, "Well, Alf, how does it run?" I said, "You've got a very good motor here, it runs beautiful." He said, "Good, I'm pleased you like it, because on Monday you can take 2 staff and go and find me some markets up in Wales." So on the Monday we loaded up the van. I went, first of all, I went to Salisbury. We stayed overnight in Cardiff. Then I worked Abergavenny, Pontypridd, Llanelli and Neath. I found 4 markets for him and got in there. I came back. By the time I came back, I was a competent driver. I could drive easily. Those days, there was no traffic hardly on the road. Right, I came back from there, and then Bob Bush, who was the manager of Lux, my first firm that I worked for, said, "I'm starting on my own, Elf. Would you come and work for me?" So I went to work for him. And I worked for him for quite a while. Then in 1939, I went to the Astoria Dance into Joe Loss. And while I was there, I met a young lady there who later became my wife. Within 3 months, we got married. That was in 1939.
Could I ask you something about your family? Because I believe you mentioned you had Polish antecedents.
Yeah, my father was Polish. My father was Polish. He came from a place called, in Poland, Warsaw. And my mother was born in the East End of London. And her parents were born in London as well.
Were you a religious family, Alf? You know, did you go to the synagogue, to shul?
Yes, I went to synagogue, yes.
Orthodox family, were you?
Orthodox family, yes.
Well, during these years, you know, that the 1930s, there was a lot of problems with people like Mosley, wasn't there? You know,
yes.
The black shirts.
Yes.
Did you have any experience of that?
I had a lot of experience with Mosley. Before the war broke out, he marched through the East End of London. And there was Gardener's Corner. He marched past Gardener's Corner, and it so happens my wife's cousin got pushed through the window in Gardener's Corner, plate glass window, yes, cut herself, and but they stopped him. The dockers came out at that time and stopped him marching through. They broke it up. It was quite an experience. After that, the war started.
Mm-hmm. Were there also refugees coming over from Europe? I was wondering, you know, as a Jewish family, if you knew what was going on in Germany in particular. You know,
In Germany, at that time, we didn't know anything about the concentration camps or anything at that time. But what happened was, my father brought over his sister from Poland and brought over his sister from Poland, and she lived with us. Now,
so you did have an awareness that things weren't right.
Things weren't right, yes.
Yes.
We knew things weren't 100%. And that was the reason I volunteered to join the army. I met my wife in the Astoria, and we got married 3 months after.
So that was about the time of the war, was it?
Yes, just before the war started, yeah. And all my friends joined up. I knew a lot of the cab drivers in London, and they all volunteered, and I volunteered. And they asked me, I was very lucky, because they asked me, what would I like to be in? I said, I'd like to go in the service corps, which I went into the service corps. As I was a volunteer, they allowed me to go in which unit I wanted to go in. I was 100% fit. At that time, I weighed, I think it was 12.1. I weighed 12.1. And went in the army, very, very, very fit person.
How well organised were things, you know, at the beginning of the war, regarding uniform and training,
yes,
that sort of thing?
I went to a place called near King's Lynn. Near King's Lynn we were stationed, I forget the name of the place now. Lowestoft, is it, near King's Lynn? Lowestoft. And we trained there with broomsticks, that's what it was there in those days. And from there on, I got sent up to East Dereham, which is near Halifax. In between, I think it's between Halifax and Leeds. We were there. I became a motorcyclist there, a dispatch rider, and they put me up one stripe. I lost that stripe in a week because I was speeding too much. I was doing it too quick, and they took the stripe away from me. Then, after that, we got sent to near King's Lynn again. Oh, what was the place? I forget the name of the place now. Sent to King's Lynn, and in a few months, we went through training there, and in a few months, we were going abroad.
Did you have special training for the service corps? You know, I was wondering what...
Yes. Lorry training, and you had a PSV license, public service vehicle license, and, heavy duty license, because we used to carry food in food sections, and then we used to carry tanks to the front line, yes.
So you were really responsible for a lot of
different
goods,
commodities,
were you?
Yeah.
Different
goods, yeah. And we got sent up to the Middle East. We pulled in on the way to the Middle East. We pulled in at Cape Town, which was lovely.
Do you remember the date of that? Would this have been during the phone
19, very early 1940.
Just when were things beginning to get a bit hot at home,
yeah.
Dunkirk?
Yeah.
And that,
yeah.
You know, the fall
before
of France.
Before Dunkirk as well.
Just before, was
yeah.
it? Yes.
And we pulled in at Cape Town, and it was lovely there. We got taken off the boats, and everybody there was welcomed us. We were there for 3 days in Cape Town, and we had food there and everything. And it was very, very good. Now, on board, I used to do a bit of cabaret work for them to keep their mind active, and they enjoyed it. So I was a very lucky person. They gave me a cabin. From there, we went to the Suez. We get to the Suez, and then we were sent through the desert to the Syrian campaign, which, as far as the service corps was served, I did not see one shot fired. We went right through the Syrian campaign and came back, and they just gave up there.
Yes, what did you experience of it? You know, what were you actually doing during that campaign?
During that campaign, we drove in as far as, I think we went as far as Baghdad. And from there, the war was over so quick, and, wait a minute, then we went to Syria. Now, in Syria, I went on a course in Syria. We were stationed outside Damascus. And I volunteered to go. They asked for people who would go on the Alps, on the mountains there, and do the skiing, what do you call it? I volunteered for that, and I wasn't good enough for it. I couldn't manage the skiing, so I stopped that. Then we were sent, from there, we were sent to Haifa. From Syria, we were sent to Haifa, our unit. And then from Haifa, we were in Haifa for about a week, and then we were sent to the Middle East. Then we were sent to Tobruk. Now, in Tobruk, we used to carry the stuff. We supplies, all different supplies we were taking to the front line at that time.
Where was the front at that time?
Well, there was no front line, really. It was pushed back one day, it was here one day. Anyway, I was driving a 30 hundredweight truck with ammunition on board at that time, and the front of the truck was hit by a trench mortar. My co-driver got killed, and I got wounded in the leg. I didn't even feel anything. I didn't even know I was wounded. I jumped out. I could see my co-driver slumped down. I jumped out of the truck, and as I jumped out, I went out like a light. I just didn't know anything more. I came to. I was in a place called Derna. Now, in Derna, I was captured by the Italians, not the Germans. And the Italians sent me on. I was wounded. And a friend of mine who was in the unit as well, in one of the units there, and he was in the same camp as me, as a captured person. He said, "Alf, I could see through your leg, one hole there and one hole there." It went right through. At that time, it didn't worry me. But I got sent by ambulance ship at that time to Naples. And from Naples, they sent me to a hospital called Caserta Hospital, which is not far from Naples. I think it's about 10 or 15 miles from Naples.
What sort of treatment had you had up until then?
Up till then, to be truthful, well, I was. The treatment I had then wasn't bad at all. Not bad at all. Then I got to the hospital, and it was the hospital that was run by nuns, and they were very, very good. Wonderful. And I was in hospital, must be between 9 and 11 months. I had a lieutenant lying in the next bed to me. He was a Maori. Charming fella. He even taught me to speak Maori. He was really a lovely chappy. And we got on very well with everybody in the hospital.
Were you all together, all the different nationalities?
Yes.
Of the Allies?
Of the Allies, yes.
Yes, yes. Separate from the Axis, were you?
Yes.
Were you separate from the Germans and Italians? You would have been separate from the enemy patients, would you?
Yes.
This was just for Allies?
Just POW patients, yeah. Prisoner of war patients. From then on, after I got better... Oh, there was one nun there, she was marvellous. She used to bring me a piece of cheese every morning, I'll never forget. She used to call me Alberto. She used to come in, to the ward with a little bottle of vino and a piece of cheese, and she used to call out, "Alberto, I have something for you." And it was really wonderful, it was. Really wonderful. And all the boys used to chip as she used to come in, you see. Anyway, that went on for about between nine and 11 months. Then I got sent to Camp 66. Camp 66. Now, when I went to Camp 66, I was there for about three months. And I made a group up there, and we used to put on shows there.
Would this have been in Italy, Alf?
Camp 66 was in Italy, yeah. And I used to put on shows there, and the boys used to love it because it kept the morale very high at that time. So much so that when I came home, I was in hospital, and boys wrote into the Jewish Chronicle, "Do you know the whereabouts of a person by the name of Alf Schwartz?" Because my name at that time was Schwartz. So I said to him, I answered him, and he was also in the theatre business at that time. And that's, I'd done it there for about 3 or 4 months, putting on different shows. Used to sing a song called Campo Concentramento PG66. Seldom, you're seldom wear a frown. There's English, there's Irish, good old Scotchman too, and the Welsh that never let you down. Campo Concentramento PG66. There's blacks, there's whites, but never blues. And soon will come the day when Elf will sail away from Campo Concentramento PG66. Well, we used to put, and they used to love it. I used to get them at it. And it went over very, very well.
Did you compose that yourself?
Pardon?
Did you compose that song? Yes.
Yes.
What were the conditions like in that camp, Alf? What were the general living conditions?
The living conditions wasn't good. They were huts. And they were like any, I suppose... They weren't as bad as when we were in Germany. I got sent from there to a place in Germany called Lambsdorff 344. Now, in Lambsdorff 344, it was a very, very big camp. There was a few thousand of us there, a couple of thousand of us there. And a couple of the boys were very, very clever with their hands and what they'd done. And we used to get the news. I used to read the news out there. And what we'd done was, they used to, out of a cocoa tin, they used to make a wireless. And we used to get the news from Egypt and places like that. And I used to read the news out. But they put a fellow in the camp, to be truthful. He was a German fellow. They said he was South African, but he wasn't. He was a German chap. And every time we hid the doings under the floorboards or wherever it was, the Germans used to come in and just go straight to the spot and find it. Anyway, we found out, and then we found out that he used to go out the camp like anything, and they used to salute him when he went out the camp. So that's how it went on. Anyway, then I got... By the way, before then, as we went to Germany, I got interrogated by the Gestapo. Because I still, when I got captured, I still had my war disc on, and on the back of it, I had Jewish, you see. And the Gestapo used to knock me about a bit.
Did they beat you?
Yes. I was hit with a rifle, butt of the rifle a dozen times. From Wu Kimstu, where do you come from? I said, I come from London. England. Nein, du kommst from Berlin. And they were trying to make me say that I came from Germany, you see. And I kept on telling no, and that was that. But thank heaven, in Italy, there was a chappie there who had a couple of spare... he was a sergeant major, and he had a couple of spare tabs. And he said, Elf, put one of these on. He said, make yourself up to sergeant major. You don't have to go to work for the Germans. So I did, I put one on. So they couldn't do too much because it was under the Red Cross, you see. And they wrote back to England to verify it, and England turned round, and they turned round from the Home Office at that time and said that I was a Sergeant Major, so that I didn't have to work for the Germans, you see. They said I was a Sergeant Major. I wasn't, I was a driver, but they said I was a Sergeant Major. To stop me working for the Germans.
And yes, had they at any time mentioned your name, you know, when you joined up, bearing in mind the war was a lot to do with a very anti-Semitic country, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
I know later in the war, Jewish people who joined up had their names changed, but...
I didn't change it till after the war.
Yes, this wasn't the policy that when you joined up.
I joined up, I volunteered in my name, and that was that.
Yes.
And I went right through the war till 1946. Mm. Till 1946, that's when I changed my name by deed poll.
Yes, so really you were quite vulnerable having your Jewish identity, sort of marked at that stage.
Yes.
Yes. Did you feel vulnerable knowing what their policy was?
To be truthful, you're young those days, and it's surprising. You see, at that time, I hadn't known much about what was happening in Germany at that time. All I knew, I was out, and we went out to fight the Germans. That was what we volunteered for at that time. I didn't even know of all the atrocities that were going on there. I didn't even realise that until I got sent up. Oh, they asked me, do you speak German? Well, I spoke Yiddish, not well, but slightly. So I said, yes, ich kann ganz gut Deutsch sprechen. So they said, where did you learn it? Von wie hast du gelernt? I said, I learnt it at school, which I hadn't. But I said, told them I'd learnt it at school. And they thought I was speaking it quite well. So what they done, they said, right, we're sending a group up to a place called Upper Silesia. And as I was a sergeant major in their eyes, would you go up there, and a couple of officers who were with me, they said, you go up and see that the boys are looked after up there in their food and everything.
Really, as a welfare officer.
As a welfare officer.